compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
Muy buenos días. Muchas enchiladas, everybody. Welcome. This is hour two, by the way, of the Patrick Madrid Show, where everyone is welcome. And you can call 888-914-9149 and be on the air. I'd love to talk to you. That number again, 888-914-9149. And emails go to patrick@relevantradio.com. So I have an email here. I'll do that first before we go to phones. This is from, where did she go? This is from, she was right here. Where did she go? Here she goes. Okay, here she is. This is from Tony. She says, I'm a Lutheran and I listen to your show most mornings. Being the Lutherans have different beliefs about communion, praying to Mary, praying the rosary, and you have to go to a priest for confession, I get a hidden message from you that only Catholics go to heaven. This is a good question. So here goes. I hope it's not a hidden message. I don't mean to hide it or to make it appear as though I'm dancing around it. But it is a defined dogma of the Catholic Church that there is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. Why don't we begin there? So first of all, I warmly welcome you, Tony. I'm glad you listen. I'm grateful for your attention. I hope you'll continue to listen. And even though what I'm about to explain may be off-putting, I don't know. I hope it's not, because I intend it as an invitation, not as in any way an insult. But it is, number one, the church's defined dogma that there is no salvation outside the church. And we are in a position of inviting you to become Catholic. And so that would be the end game, if you ask me. If you determine, after listening to this program and the other programs over time, and you say, well, you know, I get it. I agree with it. I believe it. And I'd like to become Catholic. That is our invitation from the get-go. So these things that we talk about are not intended to insult, but rather to invite. So what does this mean? There's no salvation outside the church. Well, among other things, what it means is that, as Jesus himself said, and being a Lutheran, I'm sure you're very familiar with these passages, but let's look at a couple of them. In Matthew 28, in the Great Commission, that's Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus says to the apostles, go into the whole world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teaching them all that I have commanded you. So there I would propose to you, we see that the will of Christ is that all people in all places at all times become his followers. Now, a follower is not one who just says, yay, I'm on Team Jesus. A follower is one who follows, who is a disciple of the Lord. And we see that Jesus repeatedly refers to the church he would establish. In Matthew chapter 16, for example, Matthew chapter 18, for example, he's referring to the church. And this church has certain teachings that are unique, and this church has certain doctrines that are unique. Those are teachings, but certain things that apply, like in the case of sacraments, baptism, communion, the Holy Eucharist being communion, etc. And we're called to listen to this church that he established. And the Lord says in Luke 10:16 to the apostles, he who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So there is biblical warrant to see in this church that the Lord established that he wants everybody to come into it. So the church's teaching has always been that everybody is invited, everybody is beckoned, everybody is given the same opportunity to accept all these riches that the Lord gave to his church, the Catholic Church. And not everybody, of course, will accept that. Some say, nope, not interested. Some say, nope, I don't like you guys, whatever. So the church, simply put, says that if somebody is aware that the Catholic Church is the church that's established by Jesus and yet refuses to enter into the church, that person cannot be saved. And that has to do with the person knowing, being aware, and refusing. And it's interesting because in Vatican II, I would recommend reading section 14 of the document Lumen Gentium. That's a Latin phrase that means a light under the peoples, referring to Jesus. And in section 14, the Vatican II stipulates that just as faith in Christ is necessary, he's our one mediator, he's the unique way of salvation. Faith in Jesus is absolutely essential for salvation. Jesus himself said this many times. And it's a corollary to that, that just as faith in Jesus is necessary for salvation, so too is entering into the church that he himself established for our salvation by giving us the sacraments, etc. So in that section, Vatican II reiterates this age-old teaching of the Catholic Church that there is no salvation outside the church. And the operative phrase here, when it says, if somebody knows that the church is established by Jesus and necessary for salvation and refuses to enter into it, he cannot be saved. The key here is knowing. And how do I know who knows? I don't know. I think only God knows. And of course, the person in question. So the church also teaches that because God, as we're told in 1 Timothy 2, that God wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, that must be possible for all people. Because otherwise, then God, we're told, is willing something that can't happen. So this is the other side of the coin, is that there are people who, through no fault of their own, are just not aware. They just didn't know. It was something beyond their control, and they had no way of knowing that the Catholic Church was necessary for salvation. Well, the Catholic Church says God has mercy on those people and may indeed save them in a means that's other than what is obligatory for all of us. So those of us who have an opportunity, those of us who can know and yet refuse it, are not going to be saved because Jesus wants everybody to enter into his church. Through the doorway of baptism, for example. But what about the people who don't know? Well, this, the church says, we leave up to God. So in his mercy and kindness, God will show mercy to those whom he shows mercy. God will show grace and kindness to those whom he wishes. And that's the other side of the question. So simply put, in your letter when you said, I'm getting a hidden message from you that only Catholics go to heaven, yes and no, but mainly yes. But there are many Catholics who don't go to heaven. So it's not as though, like, the only people who are ever going to get to heaven are Catholics, because there are plenty of Catholics who don't go to heaven because they don't live according to the gospel. They die in the state of serious sin. So there's much more that I could say, but I don't want to overburden you with too much of an answer. But I hope that at least gives you a sense of bearing. But I do want to reiterate that this is an invitation to you to become Catholic and to receive all these wonderful riches that Jesus wants you to have. They're all yours for the taking. You just need to come on in, and we will welcome you with open arms. So please do keep listening, Tony. And if I didn't answer your question adequately, either write me back or call in if you'd like, and we can discuss it further. So thank you for that. Let's go to Rosie now, California. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, Patrick. I have a question about not selling a home, but buying a home.
Okay.
My daughter and her new husband have been looking for a home for almost a year now, and we've seen dozens of homes.
Okay.
They finally found one that they love, and by law, they had to be told that there was a murder-suicide that took place in this home.
Mm.
Made me a little uneasy, but did not deter them. They're going to make an offer on this house. They said that they would have a priest come through, though. My question is, one, what is it that a priest can or will do in a situation like this? And two, what can my daughter and her new husband do after, you know, later on, that they can do mm-hmm. in this home?
Yeah, so the answer is, number one, the priest can, and I'm pretty confident he will, if he's invited, come to the home, and he can do one of a couple things. He can do a regular blessing of a home. He would go through with holy water, and he would bless each of the rooms of the home, and he would say prayers, not only a blessing, but also prayers of deliverance as well. There is a more formal rite of exorcism that he can. And we're not talking about exorcism of a demon who is possessing a person, but rather there is a more formal ritual for the priest to exercise a place. And that is not often done, but it can be done. And any priest who has that ritual, it's readily available. It can be in Latin or in English. I'd recommend the Latin. But if he's asked to do this, then I would say the chances are really good that he would do that. And in that case, there's a specific set of prayers to God to drive out any demonic presence in this place. And they can ask him to do that. So I would definitely do that. Now, I myself would hesitate because I don't think I would want to live in a home where every time I rounded the corner and went into the room where this happened, I'm pretty sure I would know it and I would probably think about it. I remember one time a long, long time ago where a neighbor, neighbors that we had, someone committed suicide in their home, in the basement of their home. And I always wondered, how can you still live there? I mean, it was a nice home and all that, but how could you do, I wasn't reproaching them. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't blaming them for doing anything wrong, but I was thinking, would I want to live in a home where every time I went down in the basement, in my mind's eye, I could see where this person had hanged himself? Would I want that? No, because it would be in my mind. It would be in my imagination. Everyone's different. That's sort of an area that I recognize in myself that I wouldn't want to deal with. So for me, I would probably continue looking, but they're not me, they're them. And so if the house was blessed and if there were an exorcism performed, I think that's really about all you can do. And then if they're content living there, that's great.
Okay.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think it's a matter of their, you know, their tolerance. If it's something that they can tolerate, it's not going to be a problem. It's not going to frighten them or give them bad, you know, thoughts or anything, then so much the better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then what do you think about once a year, maybe in choose an anniversary date, maybe the day they move in, to have the priest come bless the home again?
I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary. I mean, blessings are always good. Prayers of deliverance are always good. So I wouldn't want to discourage them from having their home blessed periodically. We've had our home blessed many times, many, many times. And it's not as though we feel like, you know, it's not like changing the battery on your smoke alarm on a certain day. I mean, who does that? Virtually nobody does. But I think it's a good idea to do that, to make sure that your smoke alarm has a fresh battery in it, or to change the furnace filter. I mean, it's good to do that, but I don't think it would be necessary if that's what you're wondering. Would the blessing wear off in a year's time? No. Okay. Does that exorcism evaporate and suddenly now the house is vulnerable again? No. That's not how those work.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Patrick. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Very nice to talk with you. Thank you. And I hope that if that's their house, I hope it's a wonderful, happy, loving home. How about Mark now in Eureka, California? Hello, Mark.
Hi there, Patrick. I've got a question, but I would love to probe that question with you from Tony's email, but that's an aside. Also, I wanted to say a couple of years ago when I first started listening to Relevant Radio, I was struck by the taste in music on the show. So, Cyrus, I
struck in a good way or struck in a bad way? Hopefully a good way.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hall & Oates and Air Supply and, you know, play some Bonnie Tyler. I'd like to make a song request.
Air Supply? Well, you never played
I'm
Air
not
Supply.
A jukebox.
You never played Air Supply? Oh,
no.
My bad. I thought
no.
Oh.
As, I think I played it as a joke.
We're all
April
out of
Fool's
love.
Day.
Yeah, we're all out of love over here.
Or maybe
here,
it was Valentine's Day.
We're all out. No, you know what? We're all out of love. That's what I meant to say.
Okay. Yeah, well, they're heartbreaking. That's true. So my question, that makes me want to ask about your music selection now. But my question to you as is can get deep, but I'll keep it superficial. If when a child dies, you know.
Oh, his phone dropped. You could hear that phone was acting up in the background.
I don't know what that was. That was weird.
Well, sorry. I don't know what happened, but if your phone signal dropped, call back and we'll get you back on the air. We were just getting to the question and it didn't work. Sorry about that. 888-914-9149. Let's go to John in Wisconsin. Hello, John.
Good morning. How are you doing out there?
Oh, doing okay. Not too bad for a sinner, as I like to say.
Yeah. Well, listen, I was wondering, there's a question in my mind as to who was noted for their sense of humor. Was that St. Thomas More or St. Thomas Merton?
Oh, well, let's start there. Thomas Merton is not a canonized saint. He was a, I believe he was a Cistercian monk, or maybe he was a Carthusian, one of the two. And he was an American, and he died in, where did he die? It was Bangkok. I think he was there for some religious meeting, and he got electrocuted. Like the fan in his room got electrocuted. But he was a prolific author. He wrote some very powerful books, but he also had a, he had a complicated life. And there's a lot of question about whether or not he was truly faithful to his monastic vows, especially in the area of chastity. So his life is somewhat controversial, and he's definitely not a canonized saint. So we can eliminate him from consideration. St. Thomas More certainly was a huge figure at the time of the Protestant Reformation or the Protestant Rebellion in England. And I think that he, not only was he a very erudite man, but he is known for having had a good sense of humor as well. So it may be him that you're thinking of.
Okay, so then I was also alluded that he had cracked a joke with a fella that was about to behead him.
Yeah, I've heard that too. And I think it was something like, you know, if I recall, it was something like, you know, please, you know, something about when you cut my head off, do it this way so that it doesn't damage my jacket or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but I have heard something along those lines.
Well, I thought it was a kind of a, if he did say something, that was a good one, though. Don't get my jacket dirty, but I was going to conjecture that maybe it was a blue collar remark such as, don't you wish you would have stayed in school now?
Well, I mean, I wasn't there, so I have to go by what the people who heard whatever he said said. I'm reminded, and I thank you for the call, Mark. I appreciate it. I'm reminded of the well-known St. Lawrence, the martyr. We refer to him as St. Lawrence Martyr. He was from Spain, and he was martyred in the, what was like the early, late third century, I think it was. And he was burned to death. He was grilled to death. Can't even imagine what that would be like. I don't want to imagine what that would be like. And those who were there when he was being martyred overheard him say, I'm done on this side. You can turn me over now. Because he was like on a griddle. So apparently he said that, or words to that effect. And I think it made them so mad that they, you know, they did other cruel things to him because they were so angry that he would be joking. They wanted him to be screaming and suffering, and he wasn't. So interesting. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Lori in Austin, Texas. Good morning, Lori.
Oh, hi there. I had a wonderful experience last weekend. My husband and I went to Marriage Encounter, and the Marriage Encounter, I will say, was a perfect experience. The accommodation, I just was curious. I don't want to hurt people's feelings on Marriage Encounter, but are we losing money funding this? Because it was a very rustic place. There was no bathroom in your room. There was no heat. We actually snuck out and went to Walmart and got a heater. You get two twin beds that roll apart in the middle of the night.
I think I can answer your question, Lori, if you're wondering, you know, what's the deal here. The marriage encounter is not something that the Catholic Church funds or operates. It blesses the work that they do. So in a given diocese, it will be recognized as an apostolate or an outreach for married couples. And it's a good thing. It's helped many people. But the Catholic Church doesn't have a say where they have their events. And they're all over the place. They're in hotels and sometimes maybe a resort or a campground or something. But that's up to the local or at the state level, perhaps. I don't know those details, but they are the ones who make those decisions. So if you are concerned about that, you should just get in touch with the state level of Worldwide Marriage Encounter and let them know that you didn't appreciate that part of it so that they won't book that place again.
Well, they asked us to be leaders on this, and in good conscience, I could not go back there or recommend that to couples because to us, they would have been better in a Motel 6 or something.
Right.
But,
so that's something that you can address with them. In other words, I understand the problem. Yeah. I wouldn't want to stay in a place like that either. And just let them know. And I'd love to help you out, but not at that place. But they're all over the place. They're in all kinds of hotels and conference centers, retreat centers. You just happen to get a dud. I'm sorry about that. But hang in there. It's a good work that they do. I'll be right back. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. info@charitymobile.com.
Get connected to the conversation. Call now 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Patrick Madrid is on now. Relevant Radio.
Air Supply.
Come on, man.
Who do you think we are? I can't go for that. 888-914-9149. Oh, that was a low blow. Air Supply.
I should have come back with some Air Supply.
I think it was well meant. It was well intended. So all is forgiven. 888-914. Did you see, Cyrus, when they first hit the airwaves in, what was it, 1980? I thought it was a man and a woman singing to each other.
I did too.
And then they showed up on, I don't know, maybe MTV. And then I was like, whoa.
What? That's weird.
That is weird, man.
And the one of them sound, me I mean, no they, like. They both sound like a woman. So I was surprised that it was two dudes.
Well, the guy with the deeper voice clearly was a man. The other guy, not so much. And then the size difference, you know?
I didn't look at him that closely.
Well, I mean, the guy with the man's voice is a big guy, big, tall guy. And the other guy is not. So, it was, just brought back memories of thinking that this is a ballad between a man and a woman. Then I realized it's two men. It was just no can do. I can't go for that. Yeah, okay. All right.
That's enough.
Yeah, thank you. 888, but I think it was a well-intended comment, not intended to be hurtful. 888-914-9149. Let's go to Tony in Detroit. Hello, Tony. Are you the Tony whose email I read a moment ago?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you took me up on my offer. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a question concerning, are you saying all ministers and pastors of other religions do not have a chance to heaven?
No.
Because they do not believe that Jesus found the Catholic Church.
Right. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that people who know that the church is established by the Catholic Church is indeed established by Jesus and is necessary for salvation and yet refuse to enter it, no, then they can't be saved. But if they, through no fault of their own, don't know that, then the church teaches that God has mercy on people. He loves people, wants them to be saved, and that in a way that he hasn't revealed to us, he can indeed does save people in a way that he alone knows. So, no, we don't say that there's no hope for anybody, but Jesus does want everybody to be in the church that he established.
Well, where does it say that Jesus found the Catholic Church?
Well, it doesn't say the word Catholic, but you do see the components of the word Catholic from the Greek go into the whole world. So that word in the Greek, it's actually a compound word. It means for the whole or for all. We say universal. And in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go into the whole world, make disciples of all nations. So those words, whole and all, are where we derive the word Catholic. Just like in the Bible, there's no mention of the word Trinity. Even though the doctrine is there, the word is not there. So what I would propose, Tony, is for your ability to evaluate this, let's just look at it this way. Jesus said that this church that he established would never be overcome. Even the gates of hell, he says, cannot prevail against it. So if we were to look back in time, we would say, well, there's the Catholic Church, there's a Lutheran church over there, Baptist, Calvary Chapel. Look, there are Mormons over there, all kinds of different groups claiming to be the church that most closely conforms to Jesus and what he did. And as you go back in time, let's go back 500 years to the point where Martin Luther had not yet left the Catholic Church. So in the year 1515, let's say, 1514, he was still an Augustinian monk. He was still a Catholic priest. And so Lutheranism as such didn't exist, nor did Calvinism or any of these other groups that arose at the time of the Protestant Reformation. The Catholic Church is certainly there. And let's go back another 500 years. So let's say we're now in the year 1000. There were no Lutherans, there were no Baptists, there were no Calvinists, there were no Episcopalians or Methodists. The Catholic Church was there, though. And if you go back another 500 years to the year 500, who do you find? You find the Catholic Church. Go back century by century all the way to the time of the apostles, and you will find the Catholic Church at every step. You'll find, in fact, by the year 107, the writings of St. Ignatius of Antioch show us that he was using the term Catholic Church in the letters that he wrote. He, of course, was a disciple of St. John, the apostle. He learned the gospel from the apostles. And he's referring to the church as the Catholic Church and the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And we can see the authority of the Bishop of Rome even earlier than that, say with Clement of Rome, sometime between the year 70 and the year 95. So what you'll see, first of all, is there's this continuous, unbroken line of presence of the Catholic Church with its teachings and its sacraments and the Mass and all that, all the way back to the time of the apostles. All the other groups disappear. The further back you go, they just vanish because they had not yet been started. And then the other thing you could do at your leisure, Tony, would be to examine the writings of the early church fathers. What did they believe? They did call themselves Catholic, by the way, but they also believed in distinctively Catholic teachings. They believed them, they taught them, they died for them, those who were martyrs. So the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the Mass is a sacrifice, prayers for those who have died, the sacraments as such, baptismal regeneration, the priesthood, all those distinctively Catholic things you will find, even if just in seed form, in the earliest days and years of the church. And that too is another way of demonstrating that the church that Jesus established is the Catholic Church. Do you see what I mean? Even if you don't agree with me, do you see the logic there?
Yeah, I do, but it's still hard for me to comprehend everything you're saying. I don't have that knowledge like you have. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was to go to my Lutheran pastor, he would give me his take on it.
Right.
And I would believe him, just like I'm believing you now. So that's why I get so confused.
I understand, and it's a big topic.
And I was raised a Catholic. Yeah, I was raised Catholic. I have all the sacraments, everything.
What prompted you to leave, if you don't mind my being nosy? You left the Catholic Church. What happened?
I had issues with transportation, and so I got an offer from a neighbor.
So the getting to Mass at the Catholic Church became difficult or impossible, and
correct.
The Lutheran people were kind enough to help you out?
Correct.
And yeah. Understandable. I'm sorry we let you down, Tony. I mean that sincerely. I'm sorry that we Catholics let you down, but it's not too late. And if you, and I hope you will, come back to the Catholic Church, it's your home, and resume living the sacraments again. And if you do, it's not a rejection of the kind people that you met in the Lutheran Church. It's not an insult to them. It's not, you know, being disloyal or anything like that. They treated you kindly, and that's a good thing. But the fullness of the faith and the sacraments that Jesus wants you to receive are found in the Catholic Church. And so I want to, if no one's ever invited you to come home, please let me do that now. I invite you to come home to the Catholic Church. And if it's still a transportation issue, we'll figure that out for you. We'll help you so that you're not prevented from getting to Mass because you don't have a car or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yes. So everything that you told me now, and I do not come back to the Catholic Church, and I stay with the Lutheran, am I missing my chance of going to heaven then?
Very possibly, yes. Yeah, very possibly. I'd like to read to you that statement again. Do you mind if I read that from Vatican II? Just
sure.
To make it clear. Okay, so here's how Vatican II puts it. And this is section 14 of a document called Lumen Gentium. It's the dogmatic constitution on the church, but it's referring to Jesus as the light to the nations. And here's the section that pertains to what you're saying. This sacred council wishes to turn its attention firstly to the Catholic faithful. Basing itself on sacred scripture and tradition, it teaches that the church, now sojourning on earth as an exile, is necessary for salvation. Christ, present to us in his body, which is the church, is the one mediator and the unique way of salvation. In explicit terms, he himself affirmed the necessity of faith and baptism, and thereby affirmed also the necessity of the church, for through baptism, as through a door, men enter the church. Whosoever, therefore, knowing that the Catholic Church was made necessary by Christ and would refuse to enter or remain in it, could not be saved. So this is referring both to those who know the Catholic Church is the true church and they refuse to enter into it, and it also applies to those who have left the Catholic Church and realize that it is the true church, but they refuse to come back. So that's perhaps the simplest way that I could enunciate what you're asking me. But yes, that is the long and the short of it, which is why I would urge you, Tony, you know, to come back home. Come back home. I hope you have a long, long, long happy life and that heaven is a long way away for you, you know, in terms of years on this planet. But eventually, our lives do come to an end. And
well, I wish mine would come to an end tomorrow, tell you the truth.
Oh, why is that?
I'm very unhappy with my life. Life sucks.
What's going on?
I'm losing my vision. Mm. For one, I can't get out the way I like to. I can't walk very well anymore due to a botched surgery I had.
Okay.
I'm too homebound.
And there are people are not helping you get out and do what you need to do?
Oh, I can get help to do what I need to do, but I can't do what I want to do.
I see. I'm really sorry to hear that.
My traveling days are over. I can't do that. I can't even go swimming. I can't ride a bike. I can't drive. I can't do anything that I want to do. Anything I want to do, if I need appointments or go shopping, I am at the mercy of everybody else's schedule.
Yes. I am so sorry to hear this. There are ways to help with that, though. So you live in the Archdiocese of Detroit. the Catholic diocese, and they have all sorts of things that can help you. Now, I realize if you already have transportation that that's covered and whatnot, but this is a real cross to not be able to do the things that you were so used to doing. I'm sorry to do that. But the Lord isn't giving you a cross without also giving you strength to carry the cross. And that's where the sacraments come in all the more so, Tony, because given the difficulties you're going through right now, wouldn't it be a comfort to you to know that you're receiving Jesus in the Holy Eucharist at Mass, and you're getting that strength and the grace that comes from that sacrament? You can't get that anywhere else, but you will receive Jesus that way in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be a comfort?
Sure would, yes.
Well, how about this? Would you be amenable to my getting your contact info, and I'm going to do a little work behind the scenes and see if I can't get someone in touch with you who may be able to help you?
Sure.
Okay. So don't hang up when we...
Okay.
Don't hang up. I'm really glad you emailed me. I'm glad I read your email. I'm glad you heard me read your email. I'm glad you called. But I really want to leave our conversation, Tony, with a heartfelt invitation to you to come home to the Catholic Church. The door is open. We will welcome you home. It'll be great. So please think about that.
Yeah, I know. I know something's going on because I'm feeling Jesus led me to listening to your radio station. And the more I hear you talk and the other relevant hosts, mm-hmm. the more this nags me.
Yeah,
and I know something's going on.
I believe the Lord is drawing you.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll help however we can help you, Tony. I promise you that.
Okay.
Well, God bless you. I'm glad you called me, and I hope we talk again. In fact, if you will just hang on the line, don't hang up, and someone will pick up with you and get your contact info so that we can take some next steps. God bless you. I'll be right back. Big time gratitude to Charity Mobile for sponsoring the Patrick Madrid Show. They're a pro-life cell phone company with nationwide coverage and no contracts. You can choose from the latest phones or bring your own. New customers can mention Patrick for a free phone or another offer. Info at charitymobile.com.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
I am looking for more Relevant Radio parish ambassadors. Could you be one? I'm one. Did you know that? I'm a parish ambassador for Relevant Radio. I'm all signed up. I've been a parish ambassador for a while. And you can too. You can support Relevant Radio by sharing information about our shows and promotional Our shows, promotional opportunities, the free Relevant Radio mobile app, and a whole lot more. It only takes about an hour a month. So you can sign up by going to relevantradio.com/ambassador. That's relevantradio.com/ambassador. Sign up. It's not going to cost you anything. Minimal amount of your time at the parish, and you'll enjoy it. People will love it. We provide all of the materials, bumper stickers, posters, that kind of stuff. You don't have to pay for anything. You don't have to sign up, pay a fee, nothing. It's just your way to, you know, to give back to the community, to show the love, and to help people find out about Relevant Radio. So that's relevantradio.com/ambassador. Let's see.
I have an email real quick.
Oh, yeah?
This is from Rosetta.
Okay.
And subject is matter of fact. She says, good morning, Patrick Madrid and the Relevant Radio crew. I love when a non-Catholic challenges Patrick with their insight or their knowledge about whatever they want to ask. You'll like that. You are so knowledgeable, Patrick, about Jesus and everything that is said in the Bible. What is more awesome is how Patrick has so much more knowledge and passes it through other scholars, books, and other sources that help clarify the meaning of the word. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us all. Respectfully, Rosetta.
That is really sweet. Thank you, Rosetta.
Yeah, that's nice.
I appreciate it.
And I have another one here from Terry.
Okay.
And he says... Terry, yeah, I think it's a guy. Terry says, Air Supply is such chick music. So lift your eyes.
Yeah, that's Air Supply. I admit, this was a catchy song. I, you know, when it first came on the radio, I listened to it. But I thought it was a man and a woman.
I'm watching the video as I'm playing this for the first time.
Yeah. Here it goes. I thought this was the woman.
So did I. 100%.
And he says, you know you can't fool me. Well, you fooled me.
You fooled me. All right, and there's our Air Supply quota for the year.
I have an Air Supply story for you, Cyrus. This is a freebie. So back when Nancy and I were newlyweds, we got married February 7th of 1981. And sometime that spring or long about then, this song was on the radio. It was popular. And so I joined because we were penniless in those days and we didn't have money to buy stuff. So I got real excited about the Columbia record deal where they would send you like 8 or 10 or 12 cassette tapes.
Yeah, I liked it so much when I was a teenager. I did it multiple times.
Under different names?
Yeah. Sorry. I might be single-handedly responsible for bankrupting that.
I hope you went to confession.
I've asked for forgiveness.
Yeah. So I did that thing, you know, and I got Paul Simon's Graceland and a whole bunch of other ones. But I also got, they threw in there, this Air Supply album that this song that you just played was on, the one that was on the radio. And I don't think I had seen them yet. I don't remember now, but I listened to it and I threw it away. Like, this is not my kind of music. That song's kind of okay, but everything else, yeah. So anyways, that's my Air Supply story for the day.
I
you know what would be really sad is if one of those guys is like super into Catholic radio and is listening to this program, is now going to shut the radio off and never listen again. I'm sorry.
Full confession. I had two first tapes, cassette tapes. One was a Weird Al Greatest Hits, and the other was Air Supply. I was a little kid.
So you were an Air Supply guy.
I was. I loved it when I was little. Oh, so full confession. I have never told Patrick this.
This is juicy.
I'm going to regret this moment. Oh, yeah. So okay. I don't listen to him anymore. But
you don't listen to him as much as you used to listen to him.
I still have a soft spot. And Melanie loves making fun of me for it.
I love Melanie even more now, knowing that.
All right, I need to keep this mic off.
Well, you know, you can't bring that back, Cyrus. Now that I know information, who knows what I'll do with it. Okay, well.
Oops.
I don't think we've ever talked about Air Supply on this program before, and let's not do it again, shall we?
It's a deal.
All right, let's go to Amy in Spokane. Hi, Amy.
Hi. My question is, so I agree with you and believe, I'm like so grateful to be Catholic because that's where the fullness of truth is. But I do think there's some truth in the Protestant denominations. They don't have the fullness, but they have some. And I know people who are like, so they're baptized in the proper formula, you know, with water, in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They believe Jesus is the Son of God, and they follow him and read their Bible and pray every day and have a true relationship with him. But they believe they are in the true church, and so they are not convinced the Catholic Church is the true church. So are they, I don't want to say off the hook, but are they judged based on what they know? Because I hear you saying, like, if they know the Catholic Church is the true church and they refuse to join, no. But they don't, they're not convinced it is. They really believe they're following the true church.
Right,
so
right.
I have a hard time believing they're damned to hell. I just think that they have some of the truth, not the fullness of truth, but they are baptized. They do follow. They believe he's the Son of God. And they give their life to him in their denomination. So that's the part I wonder.
Yeah, I totally understand your point. And it at a human level, it makes sense because that's how we would operate, isn't it? That we would say, oh, okay, well, we'll give you a waiver, you know, because, you know, you did the best you could. What the church says specifically is that for those who do not know, and it's not their own fault, those people can be saved. But the question that you and I have no way of knowing is, does this person know or not? And B, is it, if he or she doesn't know, is it that person's own fault? Mm-hmm. And there's no way for us to say that. So this is why I would propose this, that we have to be as attentive as we can be to telling people about the Catholic Church, preaching the truth to them, because a lot of it depends upon what they hear, you know, and we could be at fault for people being lost because we didn't open our mouths and speak to them. We didn't make an effort. So evangelization is very important. But at the same time, I like the way, I think it was St. Ignatius of Loyola, if I'm not mistaken, who said, pray as if everything depended upon God and work as if everything depended upon you. And I think that's appropriate in this case. We should evangelize as much as possible, recognizing, however, that ultimately it's God and his grace that he gives to people to come to a knowledge of the faith. So it remains that the church has always taught this, even back to the early days, you know, shortly after the apostles. So I'm thinking, for example, of St. Cyprian of Carthage. Around the year 250, he wrote a book called On the Unity of the Catholic Church. And he says, one cannot expect to have God as father if he refuses to have the church as mother. And so they were dealing with this very issue even in those days of great persecution and martyrdom. And the church was very emphatic that if you want to be saved and you have the ability to be baptized and come into the church, then you have the obligation to do so. So it doesn't sit easily with modern people, I think, because we're very egalitarian and we you know, we're always looking for ways to help people who are on the outs, let's say. But we have to contend with this reality of this teaching and do our best to help other people see it. Does that make sense, Amy?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, and if you have a chance, I would say it's worth your time to read this document from Vatican II, Lumen Gentium. It means light to the peoples. You can find it online. And if you want to go straight to the section I'm referring to, it's section 14. And you can just scroll down to it and then read it, think about it. And it has all kinds of footnotes to the Bible, etc. So you can cross-reference the things that it says there by what you see in the Bible as well.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. Well, I'm glad you called in. It's a topic worth exploring. Thank you for that. 888-914-9149. How about Victoria now in Caledonia, Minnesota? Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. My question is, why do people ask for gluten-free wafers for communion if Jesus is truly present, body, blood, and soul in the Eucharist?
Good question. So first little detail here is there is no actual completely gluten-free host, because in order for the host to be valid matter, it has to be made of wheat bread. And if it's truly gluten-free, then it's no longer wheat bread. It's a modified kind of flour, but it's not wheat. So there's some little bit of gluten still in it for those hosts that are approved for use. But the reason, to answer your question, is because even though when transubstantiation takes place and the real presence of Christ is now there, it's under the appearance of bread and wine, but the bread and the wine that once were there and have been replaced by the reality of Jesus, they still retain all the physical characteristics of bread and wine. So the gluten, the alcohol in the wine, the properties and characteristics, the taste, the texture, all of that remain. So the reality is that Jesus is present there, but all the characteristics of the bread remain. So people would have a reaction to those characteristics as if they were not consecrated. So to give an example, if somebody were, and nobody should do this, but if somebody were to consume a large quantity of the precious blood, it would inebriate them because the characteristic of the alcohol remains. So that's really how to answer your question, is that even though Jesus is indeed fully present, he's there under the appearances of bread and wine, and the characteristics remain. Does that make sense? Okay. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. Yep.
Okay. Hey, so you're in Minnesota. Are you making plans to join us for the National Eucharistic Congress coming up in July? Have you thought about that yet?
In Indianapolis?
Yeah.
No, I am not. I went to the Eucharistic Congress in Mankato with Bishop Robert Barron. I won't be able to make the other Congress.
Understandable. I just wanted to offer the invitation in case it was still an open question, but you can only do what you can do. I understand it.
Yes, but I wish I could.
Yeah, well, maybe next time. And if nothing else, you can follow along on Relevant Radio and listen to it because we'll be there. So we'll be reporting on it as well. Thanks, Victoria. We have a whole hour left, and we're going to get to that right after this quick timeout. There's a little girl, 8 years old. Her name is Sophia. She has a question. We're going to get to her question right after this. No, no, no.